You've just tuned into Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Welcome back to Beyond Your Past, the podcast that focuses on inspiring you to move forward from what's been holding you back in life. Each week, we talk with clinicians, coaches, mental health advocates, and those who've overcome tremendous odds and now use their journey to encourage you throughout yours. I'm Matt Pappas, certified coach and NLP master practitioner, alongside Joanne Suppressi, author, certified coach, and hypnotherapist. In addition to talking with amazing guests on the show, we share practical tips and insightful strategies that empower and encourage you to break free from anxiety, self-doubt, and the negative mindsets that keep you stuck. This is your place to feel validated and encouraged as you take your life back and live free from your past. Greetings to you, friend, and welcome back to the podcast. Before we get started, we want to take a second and just thank a couple of incredible organizations. INLP Center, offering world-class online neurolinguistic programming and life coach training to people in over 70 countries. If you've ever considered becoming a coach or simply want more information on their programs, just head over to inlpcenter.org. And to Daily Recovery Support, interactive daily group calls in a safe atmosphere for survivors of complex trauma, equipping you with the skills and information you can use every single day in your healing journey. Learn more about this affordable resource and get signed up at cptsdfoundation.org. Also, we're taking some time to evaluate the direction of Beyond Your Past Radio, and we need your help to bring you the content that you want to hear. We've created a short listener survey that you can take that will help shape the future and direction of the podcast. It only takes 1 to 2 minutes, it's completely anonymous, and we would so appreciate it if you consider sharing your voice. You can find the survey at beyondyourpastradio.com/listener survey. That's beyondyourpastradio.com/listener survey. And so, in keeping with our June theme of self-worth, we're sharing a chat that Joanne and I had recorded on the topic of self-doubt. In fact, Joanne's first book, Ditch Your Doubt, covers the reasons why self-doubt gets manifested in our daily lives, how we can understand it, and ways to overcome it. Self-doubt affects your ability to go after your goals, to reach out for emotional support. It affects your self-esteem, self-confidence, and can pretty much affect virtually any aspect of your personal, relational, or professional life. How is self-doubt presenting in your life? Are there strategies you've tried that just don't work? There's a reason for that. Every event in life is a learning experience for our brain. What we teach ourselves, what we've been taught, consciously or otherwise, the people we interact with in daily life, it's all connected and can foster this mindset of perpetuating self-doubt and feeling stuck. There is hope. There are ways to work through this and retrain your brain to default to new pathways, new mindsets, and a more positive, authentic outlook on not only who you are, but what you're capable of and the way you see others. There's so much more to share, so let's join that chat on what is self-doubt and how we can overcome it, starting right now. So hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Matt and Joanne here on the podcast, and we are super stoked to be back here talking about something that Joanne recently wrote a book about, something that we've been considering covering for quite a while now, and we have the opportunity to do so. So we are super excited to share some information about self-doubt and overcoming self-doubt, how doubt manifests itself in your life, and all kinds of stuff, which coincidentally is the theme of Joanne's book called Ditch Your Doubt. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the content of the book, some of the strategies, where doubt comes from, and all that great stuff. So Joanne, if you are ready to go, we're going to take some time and talk about this today. So why don't we get started and just share a little bit about why in the world did you even consider writing a book about self-doubt?
Well, Matt, throughout my personal experiences and from helping hundreds of clients, I have seen that there has been one major reason that people fail to achieve their goals. And whether they want a more fulfilling relationship, a more rewarding career, or to improve the quality of their health, I have seen that self-doubt is often the roadblock. But once people ditch their doubt and develop more self-trust and self-confidence, they tend to go after their goals and obtain the resources that they need to do to achieve their goals. So I decided that writing a book to help people overcome self-doubt can help them to, you know, achieve more of the things that they want to achieve in their life.
So, question just off the top of my head here as you were talking there for a minute.
So how much of this book that you wrote, Ditch Your Doubt, was based on your life experiences and things that you work with in clients, and how much of it was just things that you learned perhaps from a colleague or, you know, a book that you read or a class that you took?
Well, a lot of what I wrote was based off of my own personal experiences and what I learned through different certifications like NLP, hypnosis, age regression therapy, and stuff like that. To know the percentage, you know, or how much I got the information, like whether it's from my personal life or from the education that I had or from my clients, it's hard to tell because this has been my life for about 20 years, you know, helping people learn self-confidence and learn self-trust and, you know, overcome, you know, their doubt. So it's all just like comes together for me. So when I wrote the book, I just wrote the book in a way that I traditionally help most clients, you know, overcome their own issues. And so it's just like a natural process for me now. So I don't, you know, it's hard to say, pinpoint exactly, you know, where all of this information came from.
I know when I was, you know, writing my first book, I doubted myself, coincidentally, an extreme amount of the time. I mean, I was thinking, who am I to write a book? Why am I qualified to talk about this? Is anybody going to read this? Is anybody going to care? Does it relate to anybody? And so as you were writing this book, and you know, I mean, maybe also too, when you were deciding to write this book, but also as you wrote it, how much of this, how much did you question yourself, or maybe did you question yourself at all in terms of, you know, why you were writing this book and what you wanted to achieve by putting this resource out there?
I didn't really have much doubt in myself in writing the book. I know the content so well because I live this life, you know, and I help people with this so much that the information just flew, like was just flowing right out of me. So there wasn't really much doubt in me relaying the content. There was some doubt though that it would be written in a clear manner, you know, so that when people read the book, they would be able to understand it and be able to go through it in a way that was, you know, easy for them. So that was the part I had doubt in because I'm used to talking about, you know, these issues. I'm used to talking and teaching and guiding people verbally, you know, in my office or, you know, in other types of scenarios. But to write it down was a completely different, you know, ballgame. So I wasn't sure, you know, if it was going to be written in a way that people would understand. So there was doubt in that area. And I was writing in a way that was different than traditional books that I have read throughout my life. I'm more of a straightforward girl when it comes to teaching people to overcome, you know, their issues, their problems, their fears, their habits. And so, you know, most books that you read, they have all of these like background stories and all the, like a lot of fluff, as I like to call it. And so I didn't include a lot of fluff in my book. It's, you know, it's like a guidebook, you know, to read, you read it. It's like a step-by-step process. So I was a little, you know, doubtful about that too, wondering if people would accept a book like that without much fluff. So, so I did have some doubt in that area too.
So we know that self-doubt is something that is learned along the way based on past experiences and whatnot. So Maybe if you want to share a little bit of some of the reasons why people actually develop self-doubt.
Yeah, well, as we all know, from watching young children, we see that, you know, as young children, they believe that they can get whatever they want. You know, if, you know, a baby's hungry, they're going to attempt to get their food, you know, which with whatever means that they have, you know, for example, a baby will cry, you know, because that's all they know how to do. But as children get older, you know, they want food or they want a toy. Now they have new methods and different resources that they can use to attempt to get what they want. And you'll see that they'll try to reach for it. They'll ask for it. They'll climb over things to get it, you know, and so on. They don't really doubt themselves. And, you know, most of us were like this when we were very young. So somewhere along our path, we learned to doubt ourselves. Each of us learned from different means. Some people developed their self-doubt because they didn't have anyone that believed in them. And other people may develop their self-doubt because of failure or making a big mistake that hurt somebody that they cared about. You know, while other people may develop self-doubt because they chose a partner that abused them, and now they doubt that they can trust themselves to find suitable people in their life. You know, this is another common one, is where people, or they were taught to be overly careful by parents, you know, with the parents have great intentions, but they, you know, were always, you know, asking their children, be careful, be careful. Oh my goodness, don't do this, watch out. And, you know, that can cause somebody to have, you know, a lot of self-doubt. So there's so many reasons why people develop self-doubt. But one thing I've learned is that there are some people, they really like to dwell and dissect on all of their reasons for self-doubt. And they will spend, you know, sometimes years in therapy, you know, going over why do I act like this? Why are my patterns like this? You know, and they'll just dissect it and dissect it. And so what I've learned is that knowing and deeply understanding these reasons why you have your self-doubt, there is some benefit to moving forward, and so that you don't make the same mistakes over and over again, and to offer some healing. But if you dwell and dissect on it too much, and your focus is on this too much, you keep yourself in the cycle instead of actually moving forward in your life. So, you know, I work from a point of, you know, trying to help people move forward instead of constantly looking back at all their reasons.
One of the key things you mentioned, Joanne, was that self-doubt is something that is learned, right? As I teach with clients and as I talk about on this podcast since it's been going on, I think anxiety is something that is learned based on experiences from your past, right? Like it just is. Anxiety is a learned response. Doubt is a learned response, right? And, you know, it's not that it's important to understand that if something is learned, it can be unlearned, right? When you are aware of the reasons you have self-doubt about anything in life, that really gives you a basis of understanding it so you can move forward. So you're not living in the past. You're not going backwards. You're not constantly overthinking why you can't do something. You're not doubting your abilities. You're not pausing all the time to think and overthink and reassess and analyze 9 ways to Sunday why you should or shouldn't do something. You're more apt to be able to take that step forward, you know, obviously cautiously at times, depending on what you're doing, but you don't have that constant resonating negative voice of why you can't do something when you understand that it is something that is learned based on an experience. And, you know, while thinking about something and planning is obviously good, when you think about it too much and you plan too much, that brings in the area of self-doubt. And that's a big stumbling block when you're moving through any kind of recovery from trauma, or you're dealing with anxiety or depression, or you know, making some kind of big life decision, is how can I use the experiences of my past and the reasons why I'm doubting myself to help myself overcome it, right? Like, I think that's something that we can all kind of latch onto. And I believe me, I get it. It's not something that's easy to do, and it takes a long time. But if you learn why you do something and where it came from, you can work through it logically and kind of deflate the reasons or refute the reasons why you can not do something.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you made a really good point about if we've learned in the past and we've changed in the past, then we absolutely can learn in the future, and we can learn and we can change too as well. So knowing the reasons why someone doubts themselves is so beneficial for so many reasons. And one of those reasons is simply to just realize, wow, I learned this. I can unlearn this.
You mentioned about, you know, we end up kind of dissecting things over our mind and going over and overthinking and overanalyzing. And so maybe talk a little bit about, in your opinion, why do we feel the need to overanalyze and to dissect something so much to the point that it's ad nauseum that oftentimes we end up talking ourselves out of it. I mean, one reason that comes to mind initially is self-sabotage. If we can keep thinking about something enough, we will eventually decide that we can't do it, and we talk ourselves out of it, which is a safe way, because then we have a reason to continue the doubt, the negative cycle of why we can't do something. We have a reason to live in the past because we've proven to ourselves that if we analyze something enough, we can figure out that we're not worthy or it's not an attainable or achievable goal. And therefore, we reaffirm all the negative brainwashing and things that have gone on as the result of past abuse or toxic relationships or, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, I think there are the reasons that we overanalyze things a lot of times can stem from a self-sabotage type of mentality. And it's not that we are intentionally necessarily trying to stop ourselves, but especially from the area of being a trauma survivor, which obviously is what a lot of people who listen to this podcast are coming from, but not everybody. We default to what we know, and we default to what we have been rooted in and what we've been brainwashed to believe. And that's a hard thing to overcome, which is where the awareness kicks in of, if I know that I have been brainwashed or taught, and now I believe at a subconscious level that I can't do something, I'm going to self-sabotage my way into oblivion until I reason why I can't do it. And then therefore I've justified my inferior life or whatever I deem myself as being. Thinking and planning is one thing. Dissecting and overthinking and overplanning to the point of exhaustion and talking yourself out of it is very detrimental.
I think one of the root causes why people self-sabotage and, you know, overthink and overdissect is, you know, it goes, they're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of what they haven't experienced yet. You know, and, you know, the experiences that happened to them, they've already happened to them. The way they're feeling is the way they've been feeling for a while now. Their patterns, their emotional patterns and thought patterns are the patterns they've been experiencing for a while. So even though they're not beneficial for them, it's not helping them get to their deep dreams that they really want to have, like those great relationships, overcome the pain of trauma, you know, find relationships with people who are not going to abuse them, and, you know, and so on. Those things have been comfortable, you know, even though they're not healthy for them. So to overly dissect and overly reflect on the past, it keeps them safe from moving forward to the things that they're not used to. You know, being in a great, safe relationship can be scary to somebody who's been through abusive relationships. They haven't developed the self-trust, you know, that they can move forward. They haven't developed the self-confidence so they can move forward. So, you know, a person who has this high doubt, they tend to just keep looking back and looking back because it's so much less scary to look back than it is to think about moving forward to an area that they have no idea what it's like. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it does. And I mean, fear of the unknown is, yes, indeed, a very, very difficult thing to work through, right? Because you don't know what's coming. And especially, mm-hmm. you know, depending on where you've been in life and, you know, what you've been through, the future may, you know, for a long time, the future may have looked very bleak for you. Or maybe you were brainwashed or taught that you're never going to amount to anything. So why even bother looking to the future? So there's a lot of ways that fear of the unknown, fear of what's coming in the future can lead you to self-sabotage, to live in the past, because living in the past is comfortable. It's not mm-hmm. necessarily healthy, but it's comfortable and it's familiar. Therefore, again, you know, we always say about you default to what you know and you default to what you're rooted in. And of course, you know, what you're rooted in is based on your past experiences and what you've learned and what you've taught yourself and what you've, you know, what others have taught you and all these different types of scenarios. And so being able to see the future as not scary, but as something to embrace is very important, but again, very difficult because the unknown is something where we we generally tend to oftentimes, not everybody, but oftentimes we can tend to shy away from it because we'd rather feel like we are in control, which again is something else that is an aspect of being a survivor. You often felt like you had no control of your life. So if you can stay in the past and keep looking back or keep self-sabotaging, you feel like you're in control. Therefore, you feel like you are able to stay in your comfort zone. Again, not that it's necessarily healthy, but it's comfortable and it's familiar. Therefore, you deem it safe. And the idea then, of course, would be over time, working with a coach, working with a therapist, you begin to see that while the future is unknown, it doesn't have to be scary. It can be something exciting because there's opportunity to learn, opportunity to grow, opportunity to not have to look back and live in the past all the time, an opportunity to kind of, you know, spread your wings a little bit, see what you're capable of, being able to work through that doubt, see where it's coming from, and then use that knowledge to your advantage, I think is pretty gigantic.
Yeah. Those are all really good points. And I think in order to go through all that and, you know, to go through the self-sabotage, you know, and to be able to find the motivation and encouragement to stop, you know, reliving the past and to just allow yourself to feel a little unsafe, but moving forward at the same time, I think people need to find some motivation to do those things. And one of the things I see that help people motivate themselves is to start thinking now in the present moment as to why do I want to move forward? Why do I want to overcome my doubt? You know, so when you find like motivations and reasons that are important to you, you can find that the energy and encouragement and the strength to keep moving forward, even though it's scary, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it's the unknown. You know, a lot of people want to move out of their past. And a lot of people, you know, want to overcome the pain. They want to overcome the doubt. And they know they want to, but they usually don't have reasons that are strong enough. They might have like one reason, you know, like I want to do it for my children or I want to do it for my health. Having just one reason isn't usually enough for them to keep moving forward and keep moving forward and keep moving forward. Does that make sense?
I think what's important to kind of piggyback on what you're saying is, first of all, in order to even consider making some kind of a change, which in this case we're talking about, you know, moving forward from doubt and understanding doubt, is you have to have reasons, right? Like you have to be motivated to be able to make a change. Because when you're talking about moving forward from any kind of status quo aspect of your life, if you're going to change something, you have to find personal, applicable reasons that resonate with you. As to why you want to do something. Because if you have that personal motivation, and again, not generic motivation, but personal motivation, mm-hmm. you're more apt, you're more willing to put in the hard work to make that change happen and to follow through, right? You know, I've talked about before that affirmations, for example, are a great motivator, but you can't just say, I want to see the world differently. I want to get in shape. I want to eat better. I want to stop being angry all the time. Like you need to break it down to a more granular, specific level and different ways of strategies. Okay, well, why do I want to make this change, right? Well, it's not just for my kids. Okay, like, I mean, that's great, right? But why do you think that this is going to be good for your kids? Well, because my kids will see me as an example of somebody who overcame this, that, and the other thing. Or my kids will see that I didn't stay stuck. And my kids will see that I was an example of how to work through difficult circumstances and list out those circumstances. You know, make the motivational reasons of why you want to overcome doubt or whatever change you want to make specific and unique to you, so you're more apt to follow through rather than just generically coming up with a couple of reasons why. Because if something doesn't resonate with you personally, you're not going to follow through with it unless you really make it something so applicable to your life that you can really see the changes as they happen, right? Because the more granular you get, the more specific you get, you can see when those changes start to take place, and then that gives you even more motivation because you can see your hard work paying off. So, you know, maybe your kids start to see a difference in you, right? Maybe they start to emulate something you're doing. Maybe your habits start to rub off on them. All signs that you're on the right track doing what you're doing, and they're seeing those results, and then they see that mom or dad is not only talking about wanting to make this change in their life, but they're actually doing it. And this is how they're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The reasons certainly need to be personal. They need to be reasons that resonate deep within you. It's also important to have like a variety of reasons too. One of your motivations is because you want to improve, you know, your family. Yeah, that's a really great personal reason. And you go deeper into the reasons, as Matt was saying. Some of the reasons you might want to overcome your doubt is also so you could have a better career too. You know, and also so you can improve your health. Of course, you get more personal, more detailed with your reasons. But when you have your list of whys you want to overcome your doubt, it's helpful to be able to have those reasons affect many different areas of your life. Because when somebody is trying to overcome their past and, you know, they're comfortable being there, you know, and then they're trying to move forward in their future and trying to improve the quality of their life, if they only have one area of their life as their motivation, like their family, and not all these other areas, it's sometimes easy to just go back into the comfort zone because the one area isn't big enough of a motivation. So, you know, I always like to recommend that you have a variety of areas of your life that can motivate you.
Something you mentioned, Joanne, really, really, really important is, yes, having those multiple reasons why. It gives you the idea of being able to see the big picture because, you know, not that we're looking ahead or trying to gloss over anything, but there are times, I mean, let's face it, when sometimes you just feel unmotivated for some reason. You know, you just feel down, you had a rough day, you feel like things aren't working. So if you have just one thing to kind of hang your hat on or one reason to motivate you, that can be a big stumbling block. But if you've got multiple reasons why, and you've already laid these out ahead of time, you can go back and refer to that list of reasons whenever you need them. And so I definitely encourage, you know, everybody to write down the reasons so you have it marked out on a scratch pad or an app on your phone or something, because there's going to be times when you doubt your ability to overcome your doubt. And so going back and reading the reasons why, however many you have, that can kind of help get you going again in a positive direction, and rather than you staying stuck, which can then lead you into backsliding and kind of undoing all the work that you did. So one other thing, Joanne, I wanted to talk about too, and you mentioned this in your book, is about being curious.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite chapters in my book, is about curiosity. You know, I don't think this is talked about enough when people are wanting to, you know, change for the better in their life. Self-doubt, it calls for caution, which makes you pause for a long time. Caution causes people to turn around and, you know, sometimes keep moving backwards. So instead of caution, I like to recommend curiosity. For me personally, curiosity has helped me greatly. Believe it or not, I used to be extremely afraid of social situations. I used to like hide underneath chairs. I would go to the bathroom like 20 times, you know, just to hang out in the bathroom, just to get away from crowds of people. I would have events to go to, whether it's like Halloween parties or just, you know, birthday parties or events that my friends would invite me to, or even business events. And, you know, I would always find an excuse not to go to these events. And the reason I was like that is because I doubted myself. I doubted that nobody would want to talk to me. I doubted that I wasn't interesting enough. I doubted that I had anything good to say. So curiosity actually helped me here, because instead of worrying about what I was going to say, whether or not people were going to like me and, you know, stuff like that, I would go into a room with people and start asking questions about themselves, you know, learning about who they were. And then upon talking to people, you know, I realized we had a lot in common, and this helped me build more self-confidence.
I think curiosity is a great strategy. And because, you know what, like, if you're curious, all of a sudden something doesn't seem so overwhelming, right? It's not so scary because you have no expectations. You're just like, oh, that sounds interesting. Oh, let's learn about that. Well, I wonder what happens if this happens, or, you know, I wonder what that person's about. And so rather than going in with the, oh my God, I can't talk to anybody. Everybody's going to think I'm a loser. Everybody's going to think I have nothing good to say. Everybody's going to be judging me. Everybody's going to be looking at me. Everybody's going to be insert whatever thing you want to insert there that you've told yourself. If you approach it, and this, of course, goes along with reframing, which I know you and I both love so much, mm-hmm. How can I change this around to use it as a motivating factor? Well, I'm curious, right? So, you know, you mentioned about if you're in a social situation, a Halloween party, a work function, a gala, whatever it is you go to, wherever you're at, a big or small event, being curious takes the onus off of you and puts it on somebody else because you're like, okay, well, you know, let's go over here and kind of see if I can get in on this conversation, or let's see if I strike up a conversation with that person, let me ask about them. Suddenly it doesn't matter what you have to say or not to say because you're curious about them. All now you've got topics to talk about, and then you can find ways to organically bring yourself into that conversation if you wish. But if you don't want to, you can be perfectly content talking about somebody else because you've now taken the pressure off of you. And you've allowed yourself to just be literally curious and just say, you know, and to learn about other people and to learn about the experience and see it for what it is, rather than worrying about what you have to do or what you're going to look like or what's going to happen or how you can prepare for something that is probably not going to happen in the first place. So I love being curious. Everything you said, Joanne, has been just really so spot on. And I think it's something that regardless of what your past is, whether you're a survivor or not, everybody deals with self-doubt based on past experiences. Again, as we talked about, it's a learned feeling. It's a learned experience based on what you've gone through in the past. But the good news is, of course, that there are ways that you can overcome it. And it's not a life sentence of living in misery and questioning yourself all the time to the point where you overthink your every situation and end up talking yourself out of it, but rather using these situations as a learning experience and a motivator to help you through them, which of course helps you gain confidence, right? And so why don't we wrap this up here now, and you can tell everybody where to pick up a copy of your book if they like. And also to remember, if you would be so kind as to consider supporting this podcast, we actually have a way for you to get a copy of Joanne's book for free, right? So yeah, go ahead, Joanne, tell them about all that cool stuff.
So you can go to my website, www.ditchdoubt.com, and you can go purchase the book there. There's an ebook version and also a soft cover version, which I will sign for you if you buy the book from that website.
And if you guys would consider helping to support this podcast, we have several levels starting at just 99 cents a month, all the way up to $9.99 a month. And if you subscribe to help support us for $9.99 a month, Joanne will send you a copy of the book for free, of course, signed, which is super cool. Plus, you'll also get the insider scoop on any future giveaways that we have and all that kind of good stuff. So it's a great way to help support the podcast if you enjoy the content that we have coming out every week. And of course, it's a great way to get a copy of Joanne's amazing book. With that, I think we will wrap this up, Joanne.
Thanks for listening to Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Information shared on this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. Nothing on this podcast should supersede the direction of a medical doctor or any mental health professional. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and leave us a review. We would sure appreciate it. Also, please consider sharing this episode with someone who may find it helpful. If you would like more information on working with Matt as your coach, just head over to beyondyourpast.com and schedule your free one-hour chat. If you'd like to learn more about working with Joanne as your coach, please check out joannesuppressi.com and contact her for more information. We're always on the lookout for new guests. If you're interested in joining us on an upcoming episode, just head over to beyondyourpastradio.com and contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Talk to you soon.